Dear young delegates, I want to welcome you to this very, very special session. For a more sustainable response to HIV and AIDS, it's needed that young people are asked, because we are the ones who are the most affected, and we are the ones who have to cope with HIV and AIDS in the future. So it's a big challenge for us, and so we want to be asked nothing about us without us. So let us use this session to speak about, to talk, to discuss, to listen, and to find ways and solutions together. We here on the stage and you all. To do this, we have the support of four amazing speakers from three different continents. Dear audience, I want to ask you to welcome them with me. First, Chantal Callas from Lebanon. Remy Shoya from Zambia. Caitlin Chandler from USA. And Sydney Hashe from Ghana. And to complete with a fourth continent, it's me from Austria. I'm Karina Neuhofer, and I'm working with the Catholic Youth here in Austria, and I want to guide you through this session. So let me just give some few words about the timetable we are making now. I will shortly introduce then the speakers. They can make their presentations one by one, and I asked you afterwards to ask questions, and we can make some questions and answers later on. Afterwards there are some final statements and conclusion. And the surprises you have already. So, let's make it happen. The first person I want to introduce is Chantal Callas. I'm pleased to have you here. She's from Lebanon and now 25 years old. She's working in different areas of drug-related work, prevention and harm reduction. Currently, she's the Regional Development Coordinator for Youth Rise and educator at the Women Rehabilitation Center in Lebanon. She will then speak about human rights. Remy, he is currently working together with UN Joint Team in Zambia in establishing the UN Joint Program on Young People. He co-founded a project called Men and Gender at the University of Zambia. Later on, he will talk about youth participation and leadership. Caitlin Chandler is the current coordinator of the HIV Young Leaders Fund, a new youth-driven small grants program. She's 26 years old. She spent 4 months in Accra, Ghana, studying and volunteering in the West Africa AIDS Foundation. She has worked within several youth-led organizations, including Global Youth Coalition and HIV and AIDS. So she will then speak about sustainable funding. Sydney Hashe from Ghana, so you may have met in Ghana before. Sydney is the program coordinator at the Global Youth Coalition on HIV and AIDS in Accra. He worked with young people since he was 11 years and started working on HIV and AIDS now in 2004. So he will then speak about accountability and responsibility. So let's make it happen. We start with the first presentation about human rights.
Hello, everyone. Is this working? Perfect. So as Karina introduced me, and thank you, Karina, for this. One moment. Oh, I forgot. I'm sorry.
Thank you.
Chantal, back to you.
Sorry again. So as Karina introduced me before, I'm the Regional Development Coordinator for YouthRise. YouthRise, as you might know and some of you might not know, is the only youth-led network for harm reduction that works on global level. Our aim is to voice young people who use drugs and young people who work in this field, to be able to be present at the local, regional, and international conferences so that we are part of the solution and part of the whole process. They asked me today to talk about human rights, and human rights for us, I'm going to take it specifically talking about human rights for young people who use drugs. And first I thought maybe I should talk about the breaches in human rights and how these are being done daily for young people who use drugs. Then I thought, let's stop talking what's going wrong and let's start giving solutions for this. We as YouthRise decided to go back to the basics. We as YouthRise decided to go back to where it all started and start fixing the problem from the basics of it. Hence, we used our name, RISE, which means resources, information, support, and education. And these are the foundations that can help us prevent further breaches in human rights, especially for young people using drugs. I'll go with each one of these basics one by one and define what we as YouthRise ask for young people who use drugs, what we ask for their safety, for them to have a better quality of life. If we talk first about resources, everyone knows that almost all the young people who use drugs have no access to harm reduction services. And if they have access, these harm reduction services are not adequate for them, adequate for these young people. So what we ask and what we think is very important is to have a safe environment as resources where people and young people who use drugs can come and benefit from these services. These services should include trained peer educators, trained service providers. And by trained service providers are people who are not judgmental. And I've been working with young people who use drugs, and I have seen people working with them with the judgment and the stereotypes in their head the whole time. And this is not human rights based. Then we all think that we need this big harm reduction thing, but what at the end of the day, what these young people are asking for is sometimes only food and shelter. So we should be able to give them these resources before starting to talk about more things and more complicated resources. In addition to that are the materials and given to young people that should be written in a youth-friendly manner and should contain information that target these age groups. Such information are not like colorful and language, and this is not what young people need. I have a 17-year-old sister, and I'm 25. I'm not that old. But when I read her Facebook page, I'm shocked. I don't understand what she's writing about. So what we need is to read their Facebook pages, to read the pages that these young people, where they're communicating, and involve them in the process so that these materials and these resources that we are implementing and developing for them are adequate. I'll move now to the I, which is the information. And as Karina said, nothing about us without us. So this is where we should involve these young people who use drugs everywhere. And we start involving them when we admit worldwide that young people are using drugs. This is the reality. We shouldn't be afraid of saying that. We should be able to say it and start working from that point. The Just Say No approach that have been used and is still being used worldwide is not working, and we have seen the results of this approach. So we should be able to look at this and change it into a safe environment where a young person who uses drugs can come and say, I'm using drugs, give me the information I need to prevent further consequences of such things, of this, to prevent like me getting into harm-related things that are possible when using drugs. So this can't be done if we're still judging and stigmatizing young people who use drugs. And this comes the support part of RISE. support part is today, and from this conference and from every conference, YouthRise will be repeating, and hopefully one day we will be able to say we achieved. We call for the whole global community to stop the hate, stigma, and discrimination towards young people who use drugs. We should be able to accept young people who use drugs as part of our society by accepting that young people use drugs again. We call for the repeal of punitive laws and criminalization of young people. And we encourage the implementation of alternative programs that include and empower them. And alternative program includes choices. There is not one choice for a young person to go to. We should give them all the choices, all the information, and these young people will be able to know what's best for them. And I think we're almost half the people here in this room are young people, and as Aram said yesterday, I'll do my best, and he knows what's best for him. So this is what we should be able to implement wherever we go. We should know what's best for us and do the best for us. What we need is the support from the global community by giving us the choices and the information to do it. Finally, education. I was raised in Lebanon, and I worked on drug prevention for a long, long while. And in the drug prevention field, they call drug prevention. It's like there's no other choice. We should be able to change this name from drug prevention to drug education. We should be able to accept that there's a different spectrum within the drug use. There's the use, there's the abuse, and there's the dependency. And we shouldn't link or join all of them together. By doing that, by educating young people on these, we will be giving them and empowering them and giving them their human rights, the rights for information, for the right information that they're not getting. And as said before, all educational material should be targeted and tailored to the youth audience, whereby they can read them easily. How can we do that? We can do that by leaving our chairs in the big offices and going and meeting young people where they are. We can do that by providing them, as said before, and again I repeat it because it's very important, safe alternatives for them to grow and be happy. So this is back to the basics. Harm reduction at the end of the day is not that complicated. It's only an active and interactive process whereby young people and people who use drugs can be involved in this process. This is what we should look forward. And when we're back to the basics and not speaking of big human rights articles, what we think about is like, now they have it. They have the basics. Here's the sustainability. Now they're not only able to advocate for their human rights, now they're able to exercise their human rights because we provided them with all the tools they need. So this is applicable to young people who use drugs because I know it. I'm working with young people who use drugs. But this is also applicable to young sex workers, to young MSM, to young people living with HIV and AIDS, and to all young people. Providing them with these basics will set a platform for them to be able to achieve their potentials while protecting their human rights. And all we have to do by now, from now forward, is to make it happen. So now make it happen.
Thank you, Chantal. The next topic is youth leadership and participation. Remy, I want you to.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. I thought maybe I could do some slides with statistics and graphs and and all that stuff we see in plenaries and so on, so that we could be interested more in the discussion, yeah? Yes? All right. Usually when I travel, I get quotes from other young people to know what they are facing. And these quotes, I will not explain more on what they are, but I want you to just go through them and interpret them the way you want to. Okay, when I was about to come to the pre-conference, first of all, I thought maybe this could be a chance for us to kill an old saying that youth are the leaders of tomorrow. But fortunately enough, when I came here, I realized that that saying has already been killed. And through the sessions we've been having and the interactions, young people have realized that we are not the leaders of tomorrow, but we are the leaders of today. Because today is the tomorrow we talked about yesterday. And so we have just realized that tomorrow will never come. And the time to act is now. Now, when I look at youth leadership and participation, I was trying to look at the challenges that I have faced and some of the colleagues that I've spoken to. And I'm not going to speak on behalf of young people in Africa or in Zambia, because I'm too small to do that. But I'll try and speak on behalf of those that have touched my life, on behalf of Angel, a young man that is working in Matero, a poor community in Zambia. Angel works at a center, a child development center, and gets $40 per month. The last time I spoke to Angel, he wasn't getting anything in 3 months, and was complaining that the adults at that center don't want to hear what he has to say, especially on how to run the center. And so I realize as well, as much as we are fighting for this youth leadership, the challenges that we face are way too many. Young people are highly affected, and we know that. Young MSMs, young people who use drugs, young sex workers, young migrants, and the list goes on. Young people are only used nowadays as tools for interventions, and not as the brains of the programs that we have. Young people lack technical and financial support. There is lack of integration of young people in HIV programming at most levels. There's age stigma and discrimination and stereotypes, what we can call ageism, where adults are saying a young person is too young, you're so irresponsible, you cannot do this. Young people are used as cheap labor, as volunteers, and even just here at the session, at the conference that we've had, I think 99.9% of volunteers are young people. Or maybe 99% of the young people here are volunteers. And so when we're looking at some of the solutions that we might start thinking about, we could look at young people needing much capacity building and mentorship to be better leaders. And I think we should not think of this movement as a way of taking over from the established leaders and abolishing everything that they are doing. I think it's a partnership that we are fighting for, that we should learn from adults and the established leaders, and they should learn from us as well, so that we can implement, we can plan, we can deliver together. And also, we need support in terms of finances. And I'm happy to hear of the Youth Leadership Fund that we have. And the existing structures as well that we already have, the existing funding mechanisms, also should learn to incorporate young people at all levels. The Global Fund, PEPFAR, and all these, to mention but a few. Youth participation. Young people need to be a thematic area in national and global HIV programming. We have the national HIV and AIDS strategic frameworks most of the times. But then you just find one category or segment on young people, yet young people are affected in gender, in prevention, in treatment, in care and support. We also need deliberate opportunities and policies that we need to set up for young people in decision-making structures. I'm talking about country coordinating mechanisms. I'm talking about national AIDS councils. I'm talking about the UNAIDS PCB. I'm talking about civil society bodies. I was at a UNAIDS PCB last year, and I saw these government leaders coming with a bunch of delegates from their countries. And you'd find that amongst them, there were very few young people, even those who are just simply taking notes for the delegate leader. And I think maybe governments should begin to think of incorporating young people so that we also can learn at that higher level. We may also need to look at young people to also become part of policy formulation, implementation, evaluation of these programs that we have in respective organizations. Now, not just a global picture, but also at the national level. Whichever organization that you are coming from, you should be able to help in making decisions of that particular organization. I think that's where it starts from. It starts from home before we can even cry about an involvement at that broader picture. Sorry?
Ten. Find some final words so that we can go on.
All right. And finally, I would just say youth participation is not holding consultations. Leadership is not holding consultations with young people, but it's about involving young people at all levels. And I had last photo of a young person doing work in communities. I have this young photo of young leaders meeting. I have this photo of high-level meeting. But how high is this level meeting, and how low is this one? Thank you.
Thank you, Remy. We are going on with the next topic, sustainable funding. Caitlin, may I ask you for your 5 minutes presentation?
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. I'd like to speak a little bit about what I think that donors and youth-led organizations could start doing differently to build a more sustainable response to HIV. So first I'm going to start with the donors. We all know the numbers. We know 40% of new infections occur among young people. But many donors don't have clear strategies for how to reach young people. So one of the first things that I think needs to happen is that donors need clear strategies for addressing young people's needs when it comes to HIV prevention, treatment, care, and support. These strategies should be public and transparent so that young people can hold donors accountable to their commitments. And in the development of these strategies, young people who are most affected by HIV in different communities should be consulted, including the views of young people living with HIV. Often, we see that donors allocate large amounts of money, especially in HIV prevention, to what they think is a sexy, multimedia way of reaching young people. I'm talking about campaigns like Love Life in South Africa. There's a new one every day. Most of these campaigns never reach the young people who are most in need of prevention services and information. If diverse youth populations were actually involved in the development of HIV prevention campaigns, imagine how different the results could be. Donors need to realize that young people need more than Twitter campaigns and social media sites to live healthy lives. They need access to clean needles. They need sexual and reproductive health services that are non-discriminatory. They need protection from police. They need the space in which to make informed choices, as Chantal was mentioning. And they also need funding to advocate for their own needs. We need donors to start supporting networks of most affected young people. Organizations that have come together to meet needs around young sex workers, young people who use drugs, young people who are living with HIV, these initiatives need to be supported. Otherwise, their voices will be absent. Often, donors to youth-led initiatives are very directive. This needs to be addressed because when a donor makes a grant to a youth-led organization, their autonomy needs to be respected. Donors should not interfere with governance mechanisms. They should respect the decision-making process of that youth-led organization. And if they have a concern, they should address it in an open and transparent way. It should not happen behind closed doors. Donors should not decide to pull funding without consultation with that youth-led organization. And finally, in addition to donors being very clear about their expectations so that youth-led organizations can actually meet them, donors should make multi-year grants to youth-led organizations that they feel are effective and that they want to support. Because when an organization never knows where its next source of funding is coming from, it's impossible to do strategic planning and build a sustainable response. So, what can youth-led initiatives do differently when it comes to funding? Well, I think we need to be better about recognizing what our weaknesses are, and I think we need to be open about these weaknesses with donors. If we need assistance in learning how to track and monitor budgets, we should ask for it. I also think that we need to be more critical of ourselves. Mark Haywood said in a speech at the UNGAS 2006 review, "When civil society is snared in endless conferences and flattered at consultations, we become part of the problem." The same is true of youth-led initiatives. Many youth-led HIV initiatives do not involve young people living with HIV or young people from most affected communities. We need to change this. If we advocate for participation and inclusion in other processes, but we can't be participatory and inclusive within our movement, then we will fail. I attended the Youth Pre-Conference this year, and it was the first time I had been to a youth pre-conference around an international event where there was a workshop on the rights and needs of young sex workers. And I think it was clear to everyone who attended from the discussion afterwards that for many young people in the room, it was the first time they were really thinking about what young sex workers needed when it came to HIV prevention and what they needed for having their human rights fulfilled. So I want to say to all of us in the room that we need more discussions like this. We need to break down the barriers between our movements, and we need to unite different youth populations in building our response to HIV. I think this is something we can do differently. I think this is something that hasn't happened before. Our movements are splintered, but we as young people can be inclusive and figure out how to be united in our approach. So building a sustainable response to HIV means that youth-led HIV organizations that are effective must be funded, and it also means that young people working on HIV issues must avoid just becoming replicas of the AIDS industry and not challenging themselves. So finally, I think all of us, donors, young people here in this room, we need to hold ourselves accountable to the young people who aren't here, the young people who don't have access to these kinds of conferences and events. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Last but not least, we are coming to the topic accountability, and I ask you, Sydney, to talk us about.
Thank you. When I was given the topic to talk about accountability and responsibility, two things immediately came to my mind. One, holding our leaders accountable, and two, holding ourselves as young people accountable. And then I became a bit scared because I was wondering, how am I going to talk about holding ourselves as accountable as young people without having all the other young people look at me and say, what is wrong with him? But again, I still have to talk about it because there are several of us as young people who still live accountable lives and run accountable projects in our different countries. I will cite one young man in Ghana who works on a project called Curious Minds with a media, it's a media project that is funded by the UNFPA. This project has a group of young people with an adult coordinator. Over the years, when the program didn't have any funding, there was good harmony amongst all the young people, and there was good harmony amongst the young people and the adult coordinator. Just when the funding started coming in from the UNFPA, then trouble started amongst the group of young people, and trouble started between the young people and the adult coordinator, because the adult coordinator wanted to be the one deciding which funding goes to what activity, deciding who pays for what, deciding which activity comes after which, even though it was the young people who developed all these things themselves. This led to a situation where the young people decided to boycott the program because the adult coordinator was not giving them the opportunity to be accountable for an initiative that they created themselves. Second is another young person who lives in Nigeria and works with young people. Got funding from a big UN agency to implement a program. There was good harmony amongst themselves. Then just when money came into the system, amongst themselves as a team, they created trouble or problems within themselves because they couldn't decide who should be the one to hold the funds. They couldn't decide who should be the one to disburse the funds. And another person wanted to withdraw money from accounts without having the others know about it and decide to do what he or she wanted to do with that money. Now, why am I talking about these? I am talking about them because these are problems that young people face on a daily basis, running programs. And we keep calling for adults to be accountable for all the opportunity and the responsibility placed in their hands. But us as young people, how much of that responsibility do we take to ensure that we are accountable for the little opportunity that we have? Most youth organizations or young youth programs do have weak M&E systems. And so we are not able to monitor our programs properly. There is not much proper documentation of our initiatives. And so when we implement these programs, we can't tell the successes of the programs because we have not documented the successes of these programs. And this can be attributed to the fact that young people do not have training enough or enough capacity building in the areas that they work in, which is no fault of ours anyways, because most donors will give you money for initiatives but would not provide funding to support training of these young people to be able to run the programs that they do. And even at times when you're giving money to run programs, young people, the money is only given for the program itself, but there's no funding to support the core activities of that program that you'll be doing. So young people need to improvise and find creative ways of finding money to support the core activities that related to the program that they have to do. Also, there's another problem that I have identified around funding that comes to young people, especially from big donor organizations, which is around funding that comes to young people usually are funding that comes late, or they are usually small amounts of money. And these young people are not able to do any big projects, and so there's no sustainability around what they do. And these small monies, $2,000, $1,000 for a youth program to run, that doesn't even have any support whatsoever around it. It puts young people in a position where there is very little support and there's very little monitoring, because usually there are quite a number of young people surrounding this initiative. And so there's very little monitoring because the money is not big enough, and so there is not much accountability around the issue. And so for me, I would suggest that as young people, we need to find the appropriate teams. We should form the appropriate teams as young people to support our individual initiatives and form partnerships and coalitions amongst us as a team. So each one of us will complement the work that we do and help us monitor the work that each and every other person does. I would like to close with this final statement that if we as young people demand accountability from adults, our governments, and all the other people that we look up to, we should first look at being accountable to ourselves as young people and also to the constituency that gave us the legitimacy that we have as young people to do what we do.
Thank you very much. So, thank you for this great statement. I think there are questions, maybe statements from your side. I ask you to come to the both microphones on the which are near to the stage so that we can see you, and I will tell you then to speak. So that many people can speak, we make a speaker's time of 1.5 minutes, so I ask you to make short statements or questions, and I will collect them, and then we make another round on the stage. So we start there, number two.
Yeah, thanks very much, Karina, for the opportunity. I am Joseph from Ghana, and I applaud our panel for the wonderful job done. As you earlier on mentioned, and just hearing you all contribute, personally, one thing I've detected or noticed is if we really want, as young people, to have a sustainable response to our problem, let me put it this way, then we have to really hold on to what the last speaker said. We have to be really responsible for our actions. If we do all things, we take decisions, we go about some ways of doing things, and we don't take into consideration the possible consequences, we'll be making a whole lot of noise and nobody will hear us out. So I sincerely support that idea that we should be more responsible and accountable. If we are not able to keep maybe positions or opportunities given us today as young people, you don't expect that tomorrow one will become big-time leaders, as my big brother here said, will be able to do anything new or extraordinary. We start now, and then tomorrow we are sure we can be better leaders. So I will suggest that what our adult colleagues here present could do for us is they should, from time to time, guide us and guide us well. As we said, yes, we are the leaders of today, we are the leaders of tomorrow. If they don't guide us well, they should know that the world or the tomorrow is collapsing. So I support the idea that, yes, we should be more responsible of our decisions. Thanks very much.
Thank you, Joseph. Next speaker, please.
Good afternoon. My name is Don Ellis Brown. I'm from St. Martin, which is in the Netherlands Antilles. Thank you very much, Madam Chair. I just very quickly had two questions. I think anybody on panel can choose to answer this one. What do you guys see as the core business of youth movements? Is it simply advocacy, or is it at the same time to run programs, and or is it a combination of both? And then how do we work those out and move forward? And then I'd like to ask, this might be more specifically for Remy, could you talk about what is your current level of engagement with your national program, and what are some of the lessons you have learned coming from that, maybe as well? I'm really horrible with names.
Karina.
No, the last speaker.
Sorry.
Sydney.
Sydney could also answer. And from Caitlin's perspective, can you talk about what funding agencies should be looking for in terms of the engagement they should have, and what attitude should young people have when they seek to engage a funding agency? Thank you.
Thank you. Number three.
Okay, good afternoon. My name is Oyinda from Nigeria. I'm a research student with the Birmingham City University, UK. And I've been involved with youth work since I was 12. So my question, well, it's a contribution about the example you gave about Nigeria and the youth force there. You spoke about the funding with small money, and the fact that there's a problem with sustainability and youth are unable to carry out projects effectively. From my experience, what I would like to say is that because of the competitive nature of funding, where young people are competing to get funded for a particular project, mostly if the funding is, for instance, $2,000, and maybe an NGO, a youth NGO, has implemented a similar project with that kind of little money, and they've done it effectively. Most international organizations feel that if a group has done this before and they've effectively carried out this project, then they don't see any reason why they should increase the money and give another group to do something quite similar. And like you said, at the end of the day, people just write reports, and with money, we need integrity. And with report writing, it's so easy to write a report to say you've done this, especially when the monitoring is not effective. So we've got loads of problems as regards that, as regards the sustainability, as regards lack of effective monitoring, and as regards the little money. So if you look at it from that point of view, you realize that you can't really blame the donor agencies for giving that money, because somebody else would implement such projects and do it effectively with that small money. And you can't really blame the youth for asking for that small money, because they would, at the end of the day, you know, carry out that project even with the small money and still do something worthwhile. So my contribution will be that if we want to do something, what is worth doing is worth doing well. I think for the international organizations, they need to know that if the youth want to, if they want something substantial and if they want to see results, they have to start putting in money into work, and they have to be able to look at work done in the past from, you know, to be able to trust who they're giving the money to. And that's what I just wanted to say. Thank you.
Thank you. So I take two more statements, and then we go back on the stage, please.
Thank you. Okay, first of all, thank you all for sharing your opinions and statements. It's been great to hear you all. My name is Nina. I come from Macedonia. And first of all, I would like to comment a bit on the statement that 99% of the people here who are volunteers are young people. Actually, I'm really proud of it, because that means that young people are here for the cause, and leadership is all about service, and they're serving the need. And I think this is a great opportunity for them to exactly be leaders. How they're going to use it, it's another question. But as for the questions, actually it's kind of connected to his questions regarding acting on a high level, as they say, and on low level, grassroots level, not low level. So how do you think that, or do you think it's enough connected in real life, so not only in conferences, but like everyday life, the youth movement on advocacy level and the grassroots level, and if there is a gap, because I have a sense that we're lacking communication there, and how we could overcome it, if you think there is a gap. And the second question is, apparently there are so many youth organizations that we can also feel a lot of competition between us. So how do you think we can all join together and do something together, all together, and just be more cooperative instead of competitive? Thank you.
Thank you very much. As I want to take one last statement, I ask the women to talk.
Actually, I'm going to do the translation for her.
Okay, thank you.
Olá, eu sou Micaela, sou do Brasil.
Hello, I'm Micaela from Brazil.
Há pouco participei de uma mesa onde me trouxe umas reflexões sobre a participação dos jovens.
Earlier today, I participated in a table, and this participation made me think about how youth participation is being done.
Há algum tempo existem esses eventos que promovem uma discussão sobre o HIV, um pensamento de melhora, mas eu penso como colocar isso para frente, porque eu fui uma pessoa na mesa só para ser uma representante jovem.
For some time now, we had some meetings like this one, in trying to think in a better way how to deal with HIV. And this time, I was in this table just to be in this table. So,
o meu trabalho é além de mostrar o rosto, de falar eu tenho HIV, é promover a mudança, promover a participação dos jovens e...
My work goes further than only show my face and say I am HIV positive. It goes to in direction to change actually what I'm doing.
E eu sinto a falta disso aqui, tanto a dificuldade com a língua de não falar inglês ou dessa comunicação e da verdade em mudar a vida das pessoas que eu conheço, dos jovens do Brasil, dos jovens do mundo, mas dessa forma.
And I feel the difficulties, especially and here in this area, like especially with the language issues and also with my work and how it will change effectively with the people that I live in my country, the people that I work with now.
I ask you to come to an end because we have to go on.
Okay, fala.
Na minha mão tem uma pedrinha e para mim... Esse é o tamanho da AIDS, que a AIDS é a doença. E o que temos que mudar é o que toda essa pedrinha causou, que é o impacto na sociedade, o preconceito, a discriminação. E temos que pensar nas pessoas que não puderam estar aqui, nas pessoas que morreram por causa do HIV, e pensar numa mudança através disso, que talvez tenha que ser menos... do que todo esse evento.
In my hand there is a little stone. And this little stone represents to me the AIDS. But bigger than the AIDS. Okay. It's all the prejudice and discrimination and stigma that goes around it. And what we have to do is that we have to do a work to think of people that died for AIDS, that are suffering for AIDS, and think that we can do something less than this big event and more effective.
Thank you very much for your statement. So time passes. Let's have a look at these questions. I think the one I want you to ask to answer first is what is the core business of these youth organizations and what can we do and how can we do? How can we go on? Who wants to answer first? Remy, I think some part of the question was...
Okay. And Mr. Brown, yeah? Yeah, you offered two options, whether it's advocacy or actually running the programs. Yeah, and I think it's both. If we can combine the two, and especially if we reach a point where everyone accepts youth participation and leadership, there will be less need for advocacy because everyone will be on your side, especially those that are making the decisions. Yeah.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, Shantan.
If I might add on this subject... the question of whether it's advocacy or real work on the ground, this is our quality as young people, since we're doing both of these. I work in a youth-led organization where I do advocacy, and at the same time, I refuse to leave my other work, which is like no money and a lot of work, but this is the work I really get the messages from. If I am working on advocacy and not really working and interacting with young people who use drugs, what am I doing? And this is where the youthless organization that we should be working with and we should be running have to take the message from the grassroots level up towards advocacy level. And this is what we do at YouthRise. We involve everyone who's working in the field to get their message through. We involve them in every step. And this is how we succeed as young people.
Chantal, do you see this as an answer also to the question if we are enough connected to real life?
If we are, I think we sometimes forget to be connected to real life, and this is where we should have like a wake-up call and go back to the work. This is where, like, I was talking with one of my friends that I met in an international conference, Lisa Sanchez, I don't know if she's here, and yesterday we took the decision of, we've been working in advocacy, to step back forward for a while and then go back to the grassroots level, go back to the work in the field in a different country, in a different context, so that we can advocate better. So we should always remind ourselves that we have to go back to the field, we have to go back to the people we are representing, and we shouldn't like be filled with our arrogance that we got the level, we're the young people speaking in international conferences.
Thank you. Sydney?
Yeah, I just want to say that exactly her point, the point she just made, that this has a lot to do with accountability as well as young people. You could easily get lost in the midst of jumping from one airplane to the other and moving from one meeting to the other and losing sight of what the practical situation is in your country. And we need to be responsible knowing that we are representing a certain constituency. And without people living with HIV, we would all not be here. We wouldn't have the legitimacy with which we have. Why we can't sit in an airplane and travel thousands of kilometers to go to another country to program, to make things happen better. So if you move around and you forget that you need to still go back and touch base, then you are doing the people you represent a disservice. And so, like she said, we need to take some time, stop and take stock of what we have done. And that's why I was talking about documentation. We need to stop and see how far have we come and what is left for us to do as young people. So when you are starting, you know you are starting on a sound footing and not get lost in the whole business. Yeah.
Thank you. Kathleen, Joseph, the first speaker, told us he wanted to say to the decision makers, guide us and guide us well. So what can you say about this? About this guidance or partnership? He was talking about partnership, both sides.
Well, I think for anyone, a young person or an older person, mentorship is important. And I think those kinds of relationships where you're learning from someone else, whether they be older or younger than you, are necessary. And I think maybe the HIV response could do a better job of figuring out how to mentor and support and enable young people to be leaders within the movement. I don't think it necessarily needs to be an older person mentoring a young person, because a young person can also mentor someone who's much older than them.
Thank you. Yeah, Rami.
Yes, and there was just a question from Sir Brown as to the level of my engagement at country level. I'm currently volunteering at UNAIDS, working on the business case for young people together with the UNAIDS, the United Nations Joint Program. And it's more of a policy level at that particular point to bring out a United Nations program for young people. But you also understand this voluntary is different from voluntary experience that most young people do get in their organizations, where you are doing the running around, wearing yellow t-shirts, ushering people where to go, but not necessarily having to contribute to policies. And I think that's the volunteering that we would want to think about again, to say, does that mentor you to become a good leader? Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, Kathleen, once again.
Thank you for bringing up the volunteering. I had a thought related to the comment on that volunteering can be really important, and I completely agree with the young woman who said that, but I also think we need to recognize that for some young people, volunteering isn't an option, and that if you are, you know, your first concern is how you're going to support yourself and how you're going to pay for your own needs, we also need to find ways to enable those young people to participate in these kind of forums.
Thank you very much. It's now really interesting, and I like to talk with you, and with your statements were very fine, but our time comes to an end. So I ask you, dear speakers, to find some more final words for this audience to give them with, so that they can go home and have something from you.
Okay, I would want to start. I would like to say that young people in this present generation are leading a prevention revolution, like was said by the UNAIDS. And I think that it's because we have done a lot of hard work. And this hard work is paying off. We need to stop as young people at some point and see how far we have come and also decide how we want to go from this point. We should try to, as much as possible, look within ourselves and not begin to see this as another job or another option for us to travel to another country, or this should not see this as the opportunity for you to get some funding for you to use to enrich yourself or put yourself in a better position, but have the ultimate goal that it's all about another young person who is dying because some leader is taking a certain decision that is not supposed to be taken, who is dying because somebody sitting somewhere has decided to use money to buy airplanes and cars and marry more wives instead of paying for ARVs to treat those people. Once those realities keep hitting us, we would create a change for ourselves and other people.
Thank you. Kathleen.
Wow, I don't want to follow that. I think that speaking of treatment, which Sydney touched on, one of the things that's important for young people is to also be a part of not just advocating for their needs, but for the greater needs of the community. And so I hope that young people here will get involved in doing advocacy for the Global Fund to ensure that treatment can continue for people who need it, whether they're young or old. And I think that many of these issues point to a greater need for dialogue between youth-led organizations and donors, so they have a better idea of where they're coming from within the youth movement. So young sex worker organizations with young harm reduction networks. And of course, the thing I think we need to recognize is that even though we have these different sectors, they're all overlapping, and none of those, the way we identify or talk about groups, is static. And by having more and better conversations, we can try to change the way we think and try to build a better HIV response.
Thank you.
I would just like to say quickly that we need to network amongst ourselves by all means possible, and it starts right now and it starts right here. And then when we get back to our countries as well and our regions, we need to spread ourselves to reach to the lowest level, to the grassroots, and be able to impart that knowledge. Because why most young people don't participate is they feel they are not confident enough and they don't have the knowledge to engage in all of these processes. So please, let's share the information and mentor others.
I want to share with you a story that happened to me during this conference, happened with me during this conference, that has to do with human rights. Bernadette here from the Young Women Networking Zone asked us, Toria and I, my colleague Toria and I, to write a question on the board there. And we wrote a question saying, what advice would you give to a young woman injecting drugs? There were many options, of which others, of course. And then when I passed through that board, someone wrote, and I'm going to say it, that quit that shit called Turkey. If we as a human activist, young human activist, adult human activist, still have the stigma, the stereotype, this discrimination for people that we are saying proudly that we advocate for them, what right do we have to blame the others in the society? So keep this question in your mind. If you're advocating for young people who use drugs, you should advocate for everyone else, because you're a human rights activist, not a young people who use drug activist.
Thank you. Yes, thank you for being here. To you, speaker, thank you for being here. To you, it was a great session. It was interactive, and there were many points. We could talk 3 more hours. It was fine. Things that will stay in my mind are sentences you said, something like, we are not the leaders of tomorrow, as you said, Rami, we are the leaders of today. And I think these are things we should keep in our mind. Or, as Kathleen said, if young people should get help, they have to be asked. Young people know best what young people's belong. So,
make it happen.
Make it happen. And there's one big chance to make it happen. This commitment desk, you can find it now outside, or you can find it in the youth pavilion. There, everyone can give a commitment for the youth. So I ask you to go there and make it happen. Thank you very much.